Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MyFit podcast, hosted by fitness coach, business owner, and CrossFit Games athlete DJ Hillier. Physical fitness and podcasting are two of his life passions, and his goal is to train, educate, and inspire those who want to improve their general health. These podcasts are designed to help everyone, from the occasional gym member trying to improve their overall wellness to the fitness enthusiast. The episodes capture a wide spectrum of topics, including training, coaching, nutrition, entrepreneurship, relationships, and mindset. Follow the show on Instagram at TheMyFitPodcast and subscribe to his newsletter at DJHillier.com. So let's get to it.
And welcome back to another edition of the MyFit Podcast, brought to you guys by Ascent Protein. I'm DJ Hillier, and today on the show, we have Julian Alcaraz. Julian is a husband, father, former CrossFit Games athlete, and currently the co-founder of Street Parking. Julian, thanks for taking the time to be on the MyFit Podcast, man.
You're welcome. And thank you for reaching out, actually. I really appreciated that.
Absolutely. I have a ton of questions and things I want to talk to you about. But before we get into all that, let's talk a little about who you are and how you got into the fitness world.
Okay. Ooh, that's a loaded question.
Start you off with that one.
All right. So let's rewind the clock a little bit. I've always been into sports since growing up. My dad loved soccer. I loved watching him play soccer. I remember those memories very well. He helped. I remember my dad has been working in the same job to support the family for years now. He works at a farm. He's a milker. He works those long hours. He did what he needed to do to support the family when we were younger. But what I do remember, the happy memories, is when he would come home after his 12-hour shifts at like 7 a.m., he would wake us up on weekends and pull us into the backyard, and we would just play soccer. We would set up some buckets, and he would play soccer with me, him, and my brother. Really good bonding moments. Like, that was extremely special for me. Actually, I don't even remember telling many people about this, because talking about it now actually makes me a little bit emotional, but that kind of led me having a love for soccer, right? So that was something that I really enjoyed doing. And then as I started getting more into junior high, but even then he would always buy gloves and we'd play baseball in our front yard. We'd go run on the track because he loved to be healthy and a healthy father. And I would love just spending time with him. So I would just do what he did. Getting into junior high, I started following the role of my brother who did wrestling. So then I was like, oh, I'll do wrestling. He did soccer. So I jumped into soccer naturally as well, just because, well, that I was very comfortable with. And then going into high school, I kept wrestling. I then kept playing soccer out here in Tillamook. I played baseball. And I just had fun with it. I tried swimming for one season. I realized I was extremely bad at it. And I was like, okay, maybe let's not do that. But I was really connected and invested to just doing sports. And I would, on off seasons, I would work out with my brother, do powerlifting and learn how to power clean and work out. And that to me was hanging out, hands down. But it also led into everybody always seeing me as like, oh, Julian's the athlete. When I moved to California, because come senior year, I had no idea what I was going to do with my life at all, actually, until my brother and my mom took me to this, like, what's called Barbizon. It's like a school for acting and modeling, which is like, I know many people have definitely heard of it because they would have kiosks at the mall and they would like, oh, does your child want to be a star? And so, of course, they were like, sure. And so they took me to like this auditioning thing, which was ridiculous, but whatever. And then I kept moving forward. I took classes. And then once my high school friends or even the high school found out, because Tillamook was a school of 700 kids total, and they found out I was doing it, I was made fun of. They were like, oh, what are you, a model? You're going to beauty school? All these things. Like, they just didn't wrap their heads around that. No, I actually wanted to go be... I enjoyed the acting aspect of it. And then I did this 4-day convention in Hollywood, and they promise you all this and this and that. You're going to meet managers and agents. And so naturally that gave me purpose, even though it wasn't what made me happy. I was like, shoot, I don't know what else I'm going to do in life. So let me follow this path that my mother, my brother kind of set for me. Fast forward to, obviously things went well. I moved to LA. But it wasn't after the second convention, because I went to the first seminar, I came back and it was a bust. We had spent 10 grand. I went to go party it up and enjoy the scenery as opposed to focusing on what I was supposed to go do, which was gain a representative manager and an agent to better that path. So I came back with no leads, and I was like, I felt like a failure. I felt like I'd spent 10 grand of my parents' money. So then I was like, okay, let me, because if they're like, if you want to go back and gain a second opportunity, you can, and we'll give it at a discount price. And I looked at my mom, I was like, my parents, I was like, I want to do this. Like, I'm going to pay out of my money that I worked and helped my dad after I would get off of high school or junior high. I'd help him out at the dairy for the last couple hours, and he would give me his bonus check every 2 weeks, which is $200. So I was just saving. He told me, I need you to save that. I want you to save it. So I used my savings of $4,000 to pay for that. And that's old. And I took it seriously. I was like, I'm going to prove to them that I just felt so bad, because seeing how hard they worked and for me to waste an opportunity that they just wanted me to have purpose. And I identified that. So then I went to the second convention. I ended up getting a manager and agent day one, actually, after I did this sitcom skit in a showcase. The agent went running after me, which we actually talked to this day, because he became a good friend of mine. He was like a mentor and watched me grow up. But they were like, are your parents here? Because I was 16 at the time. I was like, no. They're like, I'm not kidding you. I would sign you right now if I had the approval of your parents. And so I called my parents. I was like, hey, I'm not kidding. Like, I have an agent that wants to sign me and wants to know if you guys are willing to come up here. And they got on a car and they drove later that day. And then over the course of the weekend, I had already had a manager, or I had an agent that I signed with, but then I had two managers fighting to represent me. And that's what kind of skyrocketed that whole, I was happy. I was like, heck yeah, I'm going to do this. I was so pumped. But even during that, as I was pursuing that, I started dating a girl who was an actress, and she took me to this thing called Extreme Boot Camp. She's like, hey, it's a 6-week long thing. You want to do it with me? I'll pay it for you. Cause I wasn't making a lot of money at the time. And I was like, sure. And so I did it. And that right there, once that 6-week course was over of boot camp, right? It was like Hollywood boot camp stuff. So, but it just kind of fueled my reinterest in, like, I love working out. I was becoming faster than the instructors. I was becoming like the athlete that I was. And they're like, wow, you have a gift. And then afterwards I heard they were hiring, and I was like, hey, I'm 18. I don't have a lot of experience, but you guys know my work ethic. What does it take to get a job here? And they told me, and I did the whole course and everything. I passed. It was like $20 an hour, which back then when I was 18, I was like, that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And sure, it's that right there is what led me to really enjoying what I loved, which was training these bootcamp classes. I didn't have to go get a waiter job. I didn't have to go get a regular job. I would coach 2 hours in the morning, 1 hour in the evening. That was $60 a day, Monday through Friday. I was like, this is enough for me to continue to focus on what I want to focus on, which was acting. But I started gaining a good momentum as a coach, because I was so passionate about these classes that I was teaching and this drive and getting people pumped and motivated to work out. And that fueled me. So then I started getting one-on-one clients, and I was like, they're like, hey, would you train me? And I was like, sure. And I would literally just do exactly what I did in class, but then I would kind of change it a little bit based off what I was learning and teach them. Fast forward to 2012, my brother, and then I got let go because the franchise got bought out by different owners. They didn't like, we didn't connect. But what happened was, the minute they let me go, I got a list of all the clients, and I called them and told them that I wasn't going to be in the next 6-week rotation. They're like, you should do your own thing. So they went from having like 45 people into when they started their re-sign-up process, I had pulled at least 35 of those members and I started my own thing. I was like, wow, I really enjoyed it. I was getting paid now way better money because all that money was going to me. And then I was like, I'm still focusing on going out on auditions and everything. So I was very torn. I knew it. I now looking back, I was very torn between acting, what I thought I loved, which gave me purpose, but then fitness, which I had a passion for.
Right.
I didn't have a passion for acting. I just did it because it was like, oh, I can be good at this. Sure. You know, sure. I'm a handsome looking dude, this and this and that. That's what the world tells me I am. So I was like, all right, why not? Mm-hmm. 2012, my brother takes me to the CrossFit Games in Carson. And I'm like, wow. I was sold. I was like, I want to do this. I was like, I want to do this. And so I went to Valley CrossFit, where my brother was like such a huge fan, which at the time at Valley CrossFit, Lindsay Valenzuela, Becca Boy, Kristen Clever, and Katie Hogan were coaches there.
Wow.
I mean, that's a stacked house.
Absolutely.
And I was like fueled by that. I was like, yeah. I remember walking in and Becca taught the first class and I was so cocky because it was like a warm-up was burpees and I was the typical like, let me be the first in the warm-up. But then the workout was a bodyweight workout, which I still worked out a lot anyway. So I crushed it. I crushed a lot of the people that were there already. So then I got really ego inflated. Even Becca, I could tell like I rubbed them the wrong way. Mm. And I knew that they were going to check me real soon because then the next day we had overhead squats in the workout. I couldn't even overhead squat an empty barbell. It was like what you would see with the beginner CrossFitter. I was like, oh, I am literally knowing how to clean 245 pounds as a rookie mm-hmm. with a really ugly form, but I can't overhead squat a barbell. Mm-hmm. I think that for them was very satisfying.
Right.
For all good reason. That humbled me so quickly because then after that workout was okay. Because I still finished in decent time with like the faster group, but it was like so atrocious. It was so bad. I remember just feeling, I was like, this hurts. And they're like, all right, Becca's like, all right, if you guys want to do it, those of you who are done early, 100 pull-ups for time. So here I go, 100 pull-ups for time, which I was only 2 weeks into CrossFit. I think I probably had rhabdo without knowing it. I did it, but I was like, these guys were finishing it in like 3 minutes, the people of 3-4 minutes. And I'm over there like, oh, I couldn't even imagine someone videotaped it. But that to me though, was a challenge. And I don't run away from those kind of challenges. I was like, no. So I kept pushing, to the point where like, I wanted to prove to those like Becca and Chris that I was worthy of working out with the cool kids at the time, right? Mm-hmm. So then they put me on the team, 2012. And I was like, sure. I mean, I think this is how crazy it was. I was power snatching 205 with the ugliest form in the world. Like it was a muscle snatch, I feel like. But again, like that led me everything, all those challenges and obstacles that CrossFit preaches about to me, like that and loving fitness the way I do, I was like, I love this. Mm. So I kept driving and going. And obviously like there's other things that I was still, so I know that my attention towards acting was starting to finally drift off because before that I had booked and done a film, the remake of Red Dawn. I was in this other film called Haywire. So I was doing great. But then I think CrossFit's definitely what set me in the path to where I'm at now. So that's why as much as I don't agree with what the direction they're taking, CrossFit's always going to have a place in my heart because of where none of it would have happened. This where I'm at wouldn't have happened if I would have not gone to the games in 2012 and like re-sparked a motivation in fitness for me. I competed on 2000 in team for 3 years. And then first year I chose to go at individual was in 2015. And I was like, my goal was literally just to place top 10 at regionals. That's it. That was my goal. But then I qualified for the 2000 games. That was one of the biggest upsets. Josh Bridges, that was the first year Josh Bridges didn't go to the games. Mm-hmm. And I knocked him off. And it was like, I remember I have a picture. It was like, I was in that first heat the whole weekend. I was like, what is going on? It was like, Dan, and who was it that he, it was like Dan Bailey, I think was our, Bailey, Neil Maddox, John Para, Kenny Leverett. I was like, what is happening? Like, I remember I was such a rookie and just, and then Bridges and me and Chad Mellon were the underdogs that year. But this was my first year as an individual. Chad had already had the experience in 2012. And I always thought Chad Mellon was such a better athlete than I was, which is so interesting when you think about that, right? Because when it came to performance, it's very different. How you practice is different than how you perform. It's all so mental. Like, because I beat him at the regionals where every time he would crush me in workouts and he was always like getting ahead of me. But at regionals, come regional times, it was the mental game that gets you ahead. And just, I was like, wow, I don't know what's going on. And, but then on third day, I was still so nervous. But the last workout for me was like 15 muscle ups going into a squat clean ladder. I was like, I think at that point I told myself I'm going to the games. Squat cleans, my jam. Like, I was squat cleaning over 300 pounds, but with speed, everything. And then to close out and punched out that I took second, I think Bailey was the only one to beat me in that heat. I was like, wow. I remember the feeling of just, it was so overwhelming because I had surpassed any expectation that I set for myself, which was the first step of me realizing we're only limited by what you think you're possible in achieving. Fast forward to 2016, and that's the thing, 2015, the games, I sucked so bad. I mean, you know, I was in the bottom. It was in the swim event, I swam the wrong way. Like, it was so embarrassing. Like, tell me why the only people I beat were Neil Maddox and Elijah Muhammad, which I don't want to throw it out there, but I'm throwing it out there. Why were the people the last ones to come out of the water? Like, you know, like, I'm going to be completely honest. And wow, I just remember my mindset was completely checked out. I always thought these athletes were better than me. I was like, I don't deserve to be here. Like, I was my own worst enemy. I really was. Fast forward to 2016, I changed my approach in training and I got lost in doing other people's training program as opposed to realizing what I needed to work on. I took 10th. And I remember my mindset going into regionals that year was full of a lot of doubt. And I let it win. Because you can, it's okay to have doubt and it's okay to have insecurities, but not letting them win is what you want to get to. And I let them win. And at the end of the game, you can't blame anybody but yourself. Now, you can either let those moments define who you are, or you can choose to be like, okay, I'm going to prove to myself that this is not who I am, which is what I did. But in 2017, that's when I first started realizing, like, what am I doing? I'm like 26 years old now. I started dating Miranda. You know, I was still doing a lot of side hustle, but there was no structure to my personal life. I've let my life be consumed by CrossFit. So then I started focusing on a meal prep business. I was doing a lot of meal prep with me and my brother. Keep in mind, notice how I stopped talking less about acting because by that point I was like, not prepping for auditions. I knew I was checked out. I was completely checked out. I wasn't prepping anymore. I was like calling my agent saying that I was sick, but I wasn't. I was like, no, I just was coming up with excuses left and right. I would go to auditions and I was so embarrassed by like how not well prepped I was that I would drive away, which is so crazy because so many people would kill to be in my position of having an agent sending them out on really legit auditions. Yeah. But here I am, not caring about it. I would show up, realize that I wasn't prepped the way I know I can prep myself. I know what it looks like now. And I was identifying what good work is. And I would just leave. I was like, nope. And then my agent would be like, how's the audition? I was like, yeah, good. And I was just hoping that they wouldn't call and be like, hey, he was a no-show. So going into 2017, I was focusing on the meal prep business because Miranda like motivated me to be like, we have something great going. But food wasn't my passion. I mean, I just was doing it because I was like, I'm making money. I'm good at networking. We are making a good product. Me and my brother was a great chef. He has his own thing called Fiero Signature down in San Diego now. I would sell the food. He would prep it. We would work together. We just had a good work ethic, you know, following the lead of my parents. And that's where street parking started forming. I was starting to work out of my garage. I was starting to disconnect from the community that was Training Yard because I was focusing on my establishing something for myself. Was it selfish? Did I leave my training partner behind? She was very upset. Yes. But at some point you have to realize, why are you doing this? And if someone truly cares and they understand, they'll support that. And I was doing it better myself because that owner had a gym. She owned a gym. She's an entrepreneur. What was I doing? Side hustling. So I focused on my meal prep business to make money while I was paying my bills. I was in debt. Even though I had $20,000 in my savings account because of residual checks that would come in from these acting movies that I had done, like Red Dawn, Haywire, I would never touch it because I was like, if I spend this, I don't know what I'm going to do. I was terrified to spend money. But yet my debt was $15K. How does that even make sense?
Yeah, right.
Right? I had a car and I let it get repoed because I was like, no, I had two. So financially, I was an idiot. Like I had two cars, two sports cars on top of that. For what? Then I started getting so overwhelmed with bills and stuff that I was just like, but I didn't know. All I was doing was getting by. So come time where I was not making these car payments, I took a loan out through this company called 1-800-LOAN-MART, which don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. It was like 30% interest rate. I couldn't keep up with it. I was like, I don't care. I let them repo. The repo people came to my house where I was renting. They knocked on the door. They're like, I gave them the keys and I was like, here you go. I was like, I don't care. So I was just doing whatever I could to just survive, even though I had so there's a huge disconnect from growing mentally, right? When you get to that point where yes, CrossFit's a beautiful thing and what I was doing was great because I was accomplishing things personally. But I knew that there was something missing. So I pushed and helped Logs and Miranda help me understand that. And I just didn't want to let her down. So then I pushed to just, all right, street parking was formed in a way because Miranda was traveling for seminars. She was doing a lot of hotel workouts. We'd post them. I started working out in the front of my house. You can go back and see those old OG videos on my profile. It was me with my cousin who was like ultimate like thug life bro. And you know, he grew up in the projects. Like he had no knowledge of fitness. He just loved boxing. But I was like, hey, I'm going to train for the games. Let's work out in our front house. And we'll just do imams, like ridiculous imams. If I look back, I'm like, wow, if it's one thing I do know, I was in really legit shape. Like too much. Like it's unnecessary at this point, right? But I was having so much fun in the front, like working out with somebody who had no experience. I would just modify things for him. And I was like, bro. And then my front door neighbor came. So that formed like them known as the Asada Boys. I would do a lot of funny videos of them just like going for it and trying to keep up in workouts. 5 minutes later, like they would throw up their beer from the week. It was the funniest thing ever. But I started realizing something. I was like, I'm so happy. Like I started hating and resenting what I had given up in 2016. I lost my happiness. And I started enjoying fitness again. Like, this is fun. I'm making money now. I'm structuring. I'm hustling. Now I'm starting to pay some bills. I was like working out for only 40 minutes because that's all the time I had. Was doing a workout and then followed by a crazy imam and just not caring and being afraid to fail.
Right.
And I think that made me a big underdog because then you had 2017 where like I had all these people and this and this and that. And I just kept quiet. I just kept flying under the radar, training with my cousin, Basada Boys, like in the front house, like just having fun. And sure enough, like if you go back, you'll see some of those imams that I would post and you're like, what? 2017, my purpose was not to go. I wanted to be very clear about this. 2017, my purpose was not to go to the games. The purpose was for me to prove to myself that I belonged at the games. I don't care about, I didn't care about winning the CrossFit games. I didn't care about placing top 10. I didn't care about going. My purpose was to prove to myself what I didn't prove to myself in 2016. That ultimately, I was my biggest weakness. My mind was the biggest weakness I had. So what did happen? I just kept calm. I tackled it one workout at a time. And sure enough, what started happening? Flies started coming down. All the pec tears started happening. These athletes that just, you start seeing it, right? Like, and I was like, I don't care what's going on. I'm going to stay focused and do what I do best. Know who I am and know what I'm capable of. By that point, me and Miranda had moved in together. I was setting up like in our long driveway at the apartments or the townhomes that we were set up. And I was setting up my own regionals course. Street parking had been formed. I was doing all street parking workouts and little short imams, but keeping my training sessions within a condensed 40 minutes. And then we found out that we were pregnant. And then we found out that the due date was going to be when the opening of the games. That was an easy choice. I was like, I'm not going to the games. I was like, I can do regionals. Miranda's like, you know, you can qualify. And even then her saying that, I was like, I don't know. Because I didn't want to like promise, you know, tell myself I can. Why? You don't know. You can plan for anything that you want. But for you to predict the future is ridiculous. You got to take it one day at a time, right? Because think about it. You don't think that all those people, the Christian Luceros, even Christian Lucero, perfect example. Everybody's like, he's going to the games. He's going to take first. He's crushing everybody. But what happened? Day three, pulls out.
Pec tear.
Mm-hmm. There you go, guys. You think things are promised? Absolutely not. So then one workout at a time. And throughout the whole course, I remember Ryan, even training with Ryan Fisher, I was starting to work out with him at Chalk for a little bit. And I really had fun working out with him because I loved his attitude of like, he just hated losing. And I just loved just staying quiet. And he was like, I think I'm going to go to the games. It's like, hey, that's great, man. Cool. Let's make a run for it. And sure enough, what happened with Ryan, he like tanked. Mm-hmm. And I could tell we roomed together that weekend. And it was awkward. I was just like, because he was like, well, look at me. He's like, you're doing really good, man. I was like, thanks, man. I appreciate it. You all right? And he's like, there it is. You can tell by day two, he had gave up. He gave up. I remember that because that's what I felt 2016. And so then, you know, last workout, I remember I was like on the whole, it was weird because the whole weekend I was in the top three and I was like, I don't care. That means nothing to me. People were telling me like, oh my God, you're doing so great. It's like, just great. Thank you. I appreciate it. Staying focused. And then the last workout, I remember making a choice because I was on the bubble. Things were really tight. I was on the bubble and I was like, okay. I remember the exact thoughts that I had in my head. Either you can go home today with this defeat and live with it for the rest of your life, or you can make a choice right now to give it everything you have, punch in your ticket, and prove to people, and not only people, but myself, that there's greater things in life, and prove to yourself that you were your own worst enemy. And I was like, I'm going to go home a winner today. And I did. I remember that was like one of my best workouts. I think I took top two. Punched my ticket to the games. Castro went over and because he already knew that if I'd qualified that I was going to pass it. But what kind of story would that be told, right? Oh, for me to feel like, oh, even if I would have qualified, I wouldn't have gone. Well, that's embarrassing. No, I wanted my story to be genuine and earned. Because that's what people are going to remember. They're going to remember your story. So I did. I finished it. Dave comes over and he's like, hey, are you sure you want to pass this opportunity up? And I was like, yes, I am. My son's going to be born on the first, and that's where I'm going to be. Because again, I said, the goal is for me not to go to the games. The games are miserable. They freaking suck. Horrible. But again, my experience could be different for somebody else, like the Matt Frazier's of the world, the Noah Olsons, right? They have a purpose. They have a passion, and they have a goal. Right. And knock that down either, because it's fulfilling for them. I just was honest with myself and knew what was going to fulfill me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you, awesome story, by the way, that was just, thank you for that introduction. That was so cool to hear your upbringing. So you step out, you give somebody else your position to the games. Not that it matters, but out of curiosity, what kind of feedback did you get from people when that happened?
Everybody was like, oh man, that was so great. There were some people like, I don't know how you did that. But at the end of the day, I don't even remember the feedback that I got because I got what I wanted.
Right.
I felt fulfilled. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it for attention.
Right.
I did it for myself. And I think that's what made it. I knew that once that was done, this was a perfect way for me to say goodbye and start the next chapter in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was so cool to see it all come together, man, and just very admirable on your behalf. So very cool. Something I want to transition into is when you got out of the sport, and I've heard you on several podcasts. I just love how authentic you are when talking about yourself as an athlete and just as a human being. But talk to us a bit about the transition from being a very high-level competitor and then stepping away from the sport. Was it difficult? What are some things that you kind of went through? Was it a struggle or not really?
It was extremely hard because now that I had said goodbye, and I was ready for the next chapter, which is street parking, and it was growing. And I want to point out one little small detail that things really do matter. It's crazy when you start looking at the pattern of things. I remember this is how strapped for cash I was even at that time, which, you know, because I didn't want to, me and Miranda didn't want to bank on street parking because it was so new. I remember Progenics. I was a Progenics athlete by that time. They were like, for every shirt you wear, you get $100. And I remember that I was trying to wear Progenics as much as possible just to cash in on $100 so I can pay off like some debt. Mm-hmm. To think that last workout, I was about to wear a Progenics shirt as opposed to a street parking shirt. And Miranda's like, I think you should wear a street parking shirt. And I was like, you know what? Okay. And I remember like feeling a guilt. I was like, man, but that's $100. But I was like, whatever. But I feel like that move, there was like 400 signups. I think that week of.
Wow.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause like, think about it, for such a short term gain, I was about to give up a long term investment. I feel like there's so many short term gains people are trying to gain and not opening their minds to the things that matter. Mm-hmm. That moment will always stick with me forever. And I think that's why like street parking ended up being my first tattoo, mm-hmm. you know, ever, cause of how, what it means to me, right? Like the growth. But the hard thing for transition was like, yeah. And then there's a lot of people like, oh, well, okay, well next year you ready to come back next year? Come for me. And I was like, but in my mind, I already told myself, yeah, this is your goodbye. But then hearing all those things, and one of my biggest obstacles was finding purpose in myself as a business owner, lacking my abilities in my education because I didn't go to college. I focused on being an actor and then in CrossFit. I would say that was one of the hardest things for me to adapt to because CrossFit, I knew so much, or working out, I knew so well, but I wasn't in it anymore. So it would have been the equivalent of Ronda Rousey going into fight, what's her name, and then getting her ass beat, because you can see it. You can understand it as an athlete, where a lot of people will judge her and be like, oh, she got smoked. Well, I guarantee you if her mindset would have been in it, but she did it for the people. The minute you start doing it for other people, good luck. Mm. So I was training as if Miranda's like, well, I feel like you're training as if you want to go back. And I was like, no, I just, you know, I was training running and I was doing all these. But then Knox, you know, that's because this is what also became hard, because the first 6 months of being a father, baby is attached to mom. Like it's hard to grow a connection because they're so latched onto mom. And that's okay. I think that's a big thing that fathers face. Like, you're like, you feel useless. You're like, okay, like, what do I do? Like, okay, I can bottle feed, but then baby cries because like, you know, he wants mom. And then you're just like, okay. So then I guess my outlet was, all right, work out, work out, work out. But then I started realizing what that time was starting to do, and it was becoming unhealthy. So coming to a realization that I was like, it's okay. You need to slow down and stop. Slow down. And then once Knox kind of like started gaining a personality and started, I was connecting more with him. I was like, wow, this is special. Then we moved and we relocated to over here. Street parking kept growing and growing and growing. I sold my meal prep business to one of my workers. Miranda left Progenics. We were ready to fully commit to street parking. Hmm. Like, it's just time. Like, either we choose to be scared and always have a safety net, or we can just fully commit to street parking and make this work. Hmm. And then fast forward 3 years later, we have 30 employees. Street parking is changing lives. And we're truly happy. And now understanding, finding the balance and what fitness truly means has been one of the greatest rewarding feelings. I did a post the other day. Even Miranda did a post too, saying like, she's like, why is it that you're like the leanest you've ever been when I'm pregnant? Like, why are you doing that? And, or when I was pregnant the first time, you went to the games, when you, now I'm pregnant again, and now you're the leanest you've ever been, which is true. Like, I think I'm like down 11 pounds from when I was eating all the time, but I feel like I've dialed in my nutrition and found a long-term understanding, small pieces of understanding what the benefits of working out are and how to make it work for me to make it so fun again. Like, and that's why I've been trying to post more about that, because I do feel a lot of competitors are in that struggle, because you're identified as a competitor for so long. Mm-hmm. I will not let people identify me as a competitor. No, like, I know that's what that was a piece of me, but that's not who I am as a whole person. I am a father. I am a husband. I am a business owner that just so happens to have been in really good shape at one point in his life. I made a promise to myself when I turned 30 that this next decade is going to be focused on my insecurities and figuring out what was holding me back. And what was holding me back was myself from understanding and educating myself, reading books. Like, yeah, I hate reading books still this day, which is like sitting down and reading. But what I love is audiobooks. I love still moving and retaining information and educating myself and things that I was insecure or I felt dumb because I felt like I didn't understand. There's nothing that can hold you back in this life but yourself. Again, there's all this information now. You feel like something's holding you back and you don't feel like you understand something, do something about it. Yes, it's going to be easy for you to like come up with excuses, and I empathize for that. But the longer you do that and the more you wait, you're just going to waste time now, which ultimately what time is being wasted regardless. Mm. But you either waste time now doing efficient things so that in 10 years, it's not a waste of time. Now you are a strong mental person on top of being a well, strong physical person. Mm. Yeah. So that's my purpose now, is to be the best version of myself for this family, as a father, as a husband, as a leader for street parking, and help who that reaches, I don't know.
Mm. So cool. I love hearing all that. And something I've really wanted to ask you is what type of advice would you give to people who were in your position, or maybe it's not CrossFit, Julian, maybe they're in soccer or in another sport or something else, and they're holding on to it because they're scared to let go. And like you said, their identity is so wrapped up in whatever it could be anything. My question is, what advice do you have to people who are scared to let it go because they don't really know the next step, or maybe they don't know what people are going to say?
Of course. You never know. Like, at this point, you truly have nothing to lose, right? When you start adopting the mindset that every day is a good day, because even if you have a bad day, it's a good day, because every bad thing that happens, you can either learn to, like, you can either learn from the bad things that happen, right? But if you've been unhappy for so long, like, people know, like, you'll know, because it's what you feel when you're alone. But I've said it numerous times, because I was that person. I was afraid to be alone. I was afraid to be alone because of who I had to face in those moments of being alone, of all my doubts, all my insecurities, the identity, right? Like, if you can learn to apply the mindset that got you to where you're at as an athlete, or what you're successful in, even to any professional sports players, into the minute you realize that, look at how long it took you to get to where you're at. For you to think that it's going to be different anywhere else, you'd be a fool. Because it takes time. It takes time. So the minute you understand that, all right, let me just start here, baby steps, the way I took baby steps when I first started this journey to become an athlete, you'll start realizing, okay, that's what brought me peace. Oh, it took me 7 years to become a professional CrossFit competitor. Why would anything else take me anything less than that? What I could do is accelerate that growth, like that learning process, though, by understanding that and then just piecing it piece by piece, because we are smarter as we grow. Now you can start applying your life lessons to what you're learning and then make the best judgment call. Mm. But the biggest regret, and that's why some of these books I've been reading say, like, look at who you want to, look at your death. I know it sounds really weird, but say you were to pass away, would you be happy with what you're leaving behind? Mm. Would you be happy with regret and knowing that I wanted to do something else, but I felt like people identified me by this role for so long? Who's holding you back? That's the only way you're going to learn. That's the only way you're, at the end of the day, you could always fall back on being a coach. You could always fall back on things that you're good at. But you'll find that sometimes when you commit yourself to becoming a better person by letting go, that's when true growth starts happening. Mm. Allowing yourself to be vulnerable, allowing yourself to take that new path and be scared. It's okay to be scared. I'm still scared till this day. I'm still scared that street parking will go bankrupt. I'm still scared that I'm not going to be a good father. That's just part of life. To say that you're not scared, you're lying again. Fear is what drives people. Mm. Take that fear and turn it into a positive. That's an empowering thing.
Man, that's awesome. So, such a great answer. So cool. I want to transition into two questions that I don't think I've ever heard you answer before. And so I'm curious, when you stepped away from the sport, Dave kind of reached out to you and had you test some workouts for the games, and maybe for opens or other things like that. I'm not quite sure, but tell us, what was that like? And what is it like to work with Dave behind the scenes?
You know, it's so interesting. We connected over basketball.
Oh, okay.
It was like a mutual respect. So I think for that, it moved mountains for him, seeing like what my values were. And he's like, hey, you want to test? And I was like, sure, why not? And getting to see and understand Dave behind the scenes, like, was really cool. I think, I don't know if I would ever reach out to him, I can get a hold of him. But, you know, it was cool because we played a lot of basketball. I would take food over there. I would bring my little smoker. We'd smoke some meat, and we just laughed and bonded over basketball. That's why when in 2018, you started seeing him take like knockouts of the games. Oh, that it was just special, right? Like, it was a cool bond to me, him, and one of his CrossFit, Stefan. Yeah, it was one of his like go-tos at the time. We just had a good time. And then working out again, all right. Our warm-up was knockout. Then I'd be like, all right, give me 2 minutes. My bones are not broken. Let me just get out. I'll do the workout. Cool. You got your notes? Great. Let me close out with a couple knockout, because at that time Knox was still here and I didn't like leaving Miranda for that long. Mm-hmm. So I would make that as efficient trip as possible too, just because like, hey, I got a wife, I got a kid, and you know, I'm not going to spend hours and hours here, even though it's fun, but again, got to be responsible. Yeah. And all those things just, cool connection.
That is very cool, man. He's kind of a discreet guy where he kind of keeps his personal life or things kind of to himself, so people don't really get to see that kind of stuff. So I was curious on what your guys' relationship was like. Do you have like a specific workout that pops in your head, that something that you did under Dave's supervision or something in regards to working out that you kind of remember when it was prepping for something?
There was a workout that really wrecked me. One of the games workout. What was it? It was that thruster double under one that was an open workout, but then for the games he wanted to see it tested at 135.
Mm. Oh god.
so basically you show up
one, and then there was one that took me like 3 minutes or something that also just like I was in full, the workout took me like 3 or 4 minutes, but then I was like on the floor rolling for like 15 minutes afterwards. Like I couldn't even function. And but we know that now as athletes, right? Any workout that takes you 2 or 3 minutes, you know, you're like, oh,
yeah.
Yeah, that's scary. Mm-hmm.
So you show up there and he basically is like, here's what I got for you. And you just said, okay. And then you test it for him.
I would say, okay. I would give my notes just because like, I also now felt comfortable with sharing my opinion because like, hey, like we have a platform that's growing clearly, like as coaches, like me and Miranda, I mean, I trained myself and came up with my own workouts for the games, and you know, we program for street parking. So like, I mean, you know, I'm not just nobody just dropping workouts, right? Like, so I would give my little points of feedback, but at the end of the day, it's Dave's role. Mm-hmm. It's Dave to decide. But yeah, it was cool. Like, again, there was nothing to lose.
Yeah.
So, very cool. Yeah, he asked me what I thought, and I would be very honest with him. I was like, just so you know, I'm very weak at this, 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 and this. So if I were to place this athlete here, 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 this is what you're expecting to see instead. So just, again, allowing myself to just be very honest with him, because so that way he could do his job the best way possible.
Right. It's an interesting... Yeah, it's an interesting role he has to play, because he can't have a lot of people test workouts, obviously, because a lot of people are going to do the workouts. So it's kind of a select pool that he probably has to choose from in order to kind of get the answers that he wants to get. Something that you brought up a lot is street parking, and I haven't even got a chance to ask you, what is street parking? Tell us a little bit about what it is and kind of who your clients are.
Oh, man, street parking, what it is. We are an online fitness program / community that's focused for people with very limited time, space, and equipment. And all you need is a pair of dumbbells and a jump rope to do all our program. So, you know, there's the real obstacles in this world where now being a father, business owner, very limited time. I get it, right? Gyms are a great place to go because you build community in those and it's cool, you connect. But then there's those moments of, that's why people fall out.
Yes.
And then when you fall out, do you have an answer for that fallout? Because the answer is not to stop doing fitness. The answer is to still maintain consistency in your journey. So we provided that platform knowing that we adopt, like, street parking is us. Like, Miranda and I are street parking. Like, we work out in our garages, and we've been doing it for over before street parking started. Like I said, rewinded to the Asada Boys in my front house, in the, you know, out in the front of my house. And then Miranda was traveling and seminars and just working out with just what you have. Make fitness fun again. Everybody structured it so much to the point where they started overthinking it. So we were like, now with our experience, now that we've been there, let's take it back and bring it to what the purpose was originally. Mm-hmm. People have lost vision and sight, thinking that things need to be so structured and so overcomplicated. It's like, no, take control of your fitness is what we're trying to preach here. Because be realistic with what your life is. It bums me out when I hear wives talk about their husbands going to the gym to hang out with their bros for 2 hours when you know that's not needed. No, you're going to go hang out with your bros for 2 hours because you're not working out for 2 hours. Let's be honest. Even as a CrossFit Games athlete, like, I was putting in probably less than 2 hours, you know? So, you know, let's make people aware now of what is truly needed in a fun way. Mm. And with that now, I've had a lot of fun. You know, we connect with so many individuals. So many people, so many special stories, you know, of real life and what real life looks like. And I love sharing my points of view and experience now, where before I thought it was like, oh, I don't want to put myself out there, I'm a little embarrassed. It's like, well, I've had a lot of people would reach out to me, be like, hey, man, like, I'm really struggling with this and I've seen your journey. I'm like, okay, let me share my journey, be very realistic about it. And I'm not going to tell people that, oh, this is easy journey, this is great. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. It's really not. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's so much that I even didn't fill in the gap and all the struggles I overcame from my 20s to get to where I'm at now. Mm-hmm. And even my insecurities now moving forward, you know, so fitness is a big, important part of life, but it's not all of life.
Absolutely. And something that I like with street parking is how simple you make it. And you mentioned it was what, dumbbells, jump rope. Was that it? Dumbbells and a jump rope. And that's all you need. Okay. And so tell me about why is simplicity so important when it comes to programming or fitness for you? Or what does simplicity mean for you when it comes to fitness?
Simple. The best things in life are simple. So for us, street parking, we apply that concept to our program. We keep things extremely simple, not overcomplicated, because for us as creators, of course, you tend to want to overcomplicate things for any realm, even for, let's just put yourself in the same shoes as a podcast. You're like, okay, who's next? Who's next? Like, what about this? It's like, no, dig deep into who that individual is, pull the realness of it. That's an interesting podcast.
Right.
You know, like, so for fitness, for us, keeping things extremely simple, 2 or 3 movements, offer lots of subs and modifications for those 2 or 3 movements. So nobody feels excluded from the program. There you go.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. I just love hearing from you, Julian. This has been so fun. When it comes to street parking, you guys are big. Tell me if I'm wrong here, but the workouts are 30 to 45 minutes. Is that kind of right?
No. So the workouts are 15, 20 minutes at the longest. Then we have our accessory programs that we offer on the weekends.
Got it.
The sandbag workouts, things like that, Oli Lift. But we try to apply, again, that same concept of keeping things 20, 30-minute sessions to just be efficient with your time.
Yes. And talk to me a little bit about where that came from, why 20 to 30 minutes, and kind of what does the workout look like in 20 to 30 minutes? Because I feel like, as I've been a CrossFit coach for 5 years now, and I've seen a lot of patterns, as you probably have too, over the years. And it seems like people are navigating more towards less workout time, maybe a little bit more intensity, but just not being at the gym. Even an hour, Julian, is kind of slowly kind of getting a little bit out there where people just don't have it. I mean, realistically, it's just not becoming a thing that they have that much time. Talk a little bit about how much time should be allocated to working out.
Honestly, this can go really deep as well, right? Because I'm going to exclude talking about scientific stuff. Okay, that's not necessary. I like to keep things very simple, because the minute we start doing that, and I think that's a big fault that some people have, you'll attract a certain audience when it comes to that. Sure, you're smart. Let's bring things back to the everyday person, right? Yep. You're going to see the most gains. You're going to see the most improvement by just being consistent. Step one, be consistent with your working out. That's it. 2 to 3 times a week. Because the minute you start being consistent with just working out, you start realizing, oh snap, there's not one person that regrets getting in a workout. Whether how much it sucked afterwards, you're still like,
yeah,
I feel great.
So
I
true.
Feel great. Right. Which again leads into all the scientific effects of what the brain feels and what the body feels after that. Not needed. Pay attention to how your body feels. You feel great after you work out. And not only that, you're bettering your body. You're bettering your health. Consistency over anything. Stay consistent with working out. More than nothing. Okay. And I feel like that gets in the way of a lot of people's egos, and more men than women actually get in the way of just being consistent over anything. Step one, consistency.
Got it.
Step two, you ready to go to the next move? Are you consistent? Have you been consistent for 2-3 months? Okay, cool. Start adding intensity into your workouts. Not every day has to add intensity, but if you want to start seeing progress, start adding intensity into your workouts. Cool. People are like, I'm still not changing. All right. How's your nutrition looking? And then simplifying nutrition. Because that's where you start realizing you can work out, stay consistent. You can add intensity to your workouts. But then you start being realistic and be like, all right, how do your insides look? How's your inside health looking? Once you start understanding that, that's what I'm saying. Like, the minute people want that fast improvement, but that doesn't exist. A lottery ticket gives you that, but look at how that turns out. Consistency with even understanding your knowledge and the basics of nutrition. Even the basics in nutrition, are you eating enough? Most people will say no. Okay, eat 3 meals a day. Great. Are you consistent with that? All right. Let's look at what you're eating. Oh, all right, cut that out. Cool. That's why I want to share to people, even though I'm at the leanest I've ever been now, me and Miranda, this consistency journey in nutrition has been an evolution over 4 years. And I still have so much to understand, but that's okay. I'm excited to do so. I'm excited to read books on nutrition and understand, now that I am in a good mindset, to realize that I don't have to apply everything that these books are telling me, because I have to apply it to my life and what's realistic in my life. And I feel like that's where people get overwhelmed. They adopt a new way of lifestyle that's not realistic to theirs, and they go full 100, and then they fail. And nobody likes failing. So what do? They don't like to do it again. Our minds are very delicate if you haven't learned to train your mind. And then there's the training of your mind. Right. There's the training of your feelings and emotions. But that's why, that's why you're always growing as a person. Every 5 years, you're a different person. Every year, you're a different. Well, and that's the thing. You either are or you're not. You keep remaining to be the same person that you're always disappointed in, or you keep growing. So consistency, 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 and then slowly build up from there.
Good. Awesome answer. We're coming up on about an hour here, but I have some questions on fatherhood. Do you have some time or what do you got? What do you got left here?
Of course I got time.
All right, let's keep it rolling. So as a father who sees value in enjoying fitness and prioritizing some fitness, how do you balance it? Being a great father, owning your own business. I think oftentimes, or maybe not oftentimes, but sometimes I hear the thing at my gym, you know, I can't make it because I have a kid or I have this and this responsibility. But sometimes it's easy to blame the child for right or for wrong. Tell me about how do you keep balance?
So balance doesn't exist. I just want to start off by saying that it doesn't. Adjusting and always be improvising exists because every day is different, right? You can plan however you want, and some things don't go as planned, and that's okay. You have to learn to adapt to that, or else all you're doing is you're going to keep stressing yourself out. You're going to keep being overwhelmed. You're going to keep being frustrated. Now, a day in the life of me, what that looks like and what I like to stay consistent with, I just even recently switched to understanding that going to sleep late was counterproductive because I'm so zapped in the evening with everything that we have on our plates that I was trying to get some work done. Then I wasn't putting all my energy into it. I was like, okay, let me try to get some sleep. So trying to go to bed earlier now. Of course, it's a little harder when you have a newborn, but now Knox is in a good sleep schedule. He's down by 7 o'clock. He sleeps until 5:30 in the morning or 6. So he doesn't wake up throughout the night. So that's really nice. So taking advantage of going to bed a little bit earlier so I can wake up earlier and be more productive and be more efficient and be good flow. You can't use your kids as an excuse not to get a workout in, because here's a couple of things that I'm learning to understand when it comes to Knox, and of course being going to be a father to two soon, and not being aware that yes, it's going to open up my eyes to understanding what two kids now looks like, because I can only speak having one kid right now, which I understand. Luckily, we're in a position where we have my mom as a nanny, so we have the support needed. Not everybody does, but when you start understanding that kids truly, truly appreciate quality time, like they're so in the moment. Like I've learned so much from Knox by just watching him. He's so in the moment. So who you are when you're with them is extremely special when you can truly be a happy person. So there is the guilt of obviously not being with him like all day, every day, but that's also not realistic because if you're with your baby for all day, every day, then you're going to get really frustrated and overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. So that's why stay-at-home moms have one of the hardest jobs in the world. The hardest jobs in the world. Oh my goodness. You know, as fun as your kids are, again, that takes away from a little bit more of the quality time as opposed to you're in survival mode and just taking care and making sure. And then, but where does that leave you, right? But the minute you start seeing that your kids do what you do, go in and get a workout. Be selfish with your time. Go spend 15, 20 minutes and get a workout in. Have them watch you, because you'll start seeing a street parking post. The kids start joining in on what you're doing. Knox does burpees so well. He does devil press. I start speaking to him as if I'm speaking to an adult, like, hey, dumbbell push press, barbell push press, burpees, devil press, like talking to him as if he knows, because next thing you know, like, and anybody in the staff can confirm, he knows what a barbell is. He knows what devil press is. He knows what step-ups are. Him watching myself and Miranda, monkey see, monkey do.
Right.
They will do that.
Right.
That is quality bonding time to the point where they start wanting to join you. And that's why 15 minutes of a workout is extremely effective, because, and sometimes even 10, right? Just get it done. It's okay if your kids are going to cry for a little bit. It's okay if, oh no, taboo, you give them a tablet if they're not zoning in, but you have to put your health first, because what good is putting that aside to get other things done? Because ultimately, if you're not happy, you're not going to make the people around you happy.
Absolutely. Yeah, so. I'm so glad you said it like that. You took the words right out of my mouth. And I think in retrospect as well, it's like you're also doing it for your kid and they want to be able to see that. And then also I think a little bit is for your wife too, you know, being able to stay fit and being able to provide a healthy lifestyle. Because at the end of the day, I think sometimes really people might think, oh, I'm being selfish because I'm at the gym right now. And yes, it may be selfish, but it's also needed for growth, not only for your child, but would you also say just for your entire family and your wife included?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are two things that I think are really, really important is your mind and body, right? Take care of those. And you're going to take really, really good care of the people around you. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, Yeah. What's the best? I like to give you very specific things that I've heard at the gym and at my gym. And so sometimes I hear is, you know, the husband and wife, they have kids, and the struggle is how do we both get workouts in? Do we work out together? Does one do this? Does one do that? How do you attack that? Do you get that question at all? Or is that kind of the left field?
It's an easy one to tackle because me and Miranda apply it when we don't, like when my mom travels and we don't have a nanny, right? We understand how important working out is for both of us. So one, don't be selfish, right? Know that it's a need for both of you to be the best versions of yourselves, right? So when it comes to that, I'll ask Miranda, what time do you want to work out today? She'll tell me. I'll ask her and give her the choice because, hey, at the end of the day, she birthed Knox. She's going to birth our future son. Like, hey, what time do you want to work out today? So she'll tell me. I'll be like, okay, I would like to work out at this time. I'll be like, okay, when you eat lunch, can you watch Knox? I'm going to quickly go get a workout. And because I know I'm not going to be there for an hour, I want to roll into my garage and get a 20, 30 minute. I've set a goal for myself that's warm up included. I'll go in, I'll move like for 5 minutes, you know, turn my glutes on so I don't have my lower back issue or whatever. I'll do a street parking workout and I focus 20 minutes of fitness. So if I'm done with the street parking workout in 15 minutes or 10 minutes, the rest of the time is spent on a bike, rower, or the runner, just moving still for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. That's not a lot of time. And then by that point, she's spending quality time with him. And I've got my workout in. Cool. I feel good. I go in. So I'll adjust my schedule based on what her needs are. And I'll still get it done. There's no excuse. There's really not. It's just communication. Very simple. What time would you like to work out today? She'll tell me. Sounds good. When you eat lunch, I'm going to work out. Great. And then we switch. I'm done. I'm going to go watch Knox now. You can get your workout in. And most likely, we're going to sit in the gym, watch you work out, and I'm going to play around with Knox while she's working out. Problem solved.
Yeah. I love how simple you make things, Julian. It's so refreshing. Another question I have is another big topic is people travel a lot and for business or for whatever. And I know street parking is a great avenue for that. If they don't have street parking, or maybe they do, what advice do you just have for people who are traveling for business yet still want to make fitness a priority in their life?
Easy. Whether you're part of street parking or not, follow street parking on public IG. We post many travel workouts that people can do. Okay. But even then I posted we travel a lot. And we stay dedicated to leading by example. So we'll work out in a hotel gym or even in our room or even, you know, wherever, but we make it work as cool as it is. And we know that we could easily go to a CrossFit gym. That's not solving the problem. Not every place has a CrossFit gym. And of course we can go in there and that's where like you got to put the ego aside. Would it be cool to have people come in and be like, oh my God, you're this and that. That's not the attention I want. I want to show the community that we can go live and we've made modifications with what we have in our disposal in the hotel gym, which usually are super crappy.
Yep.
And I posted a workout in my page the other day. I was like, one dumbbell workout, two rounds, 50 alternating dumbbell snatch, 50 air squats. You're done. That workout took me 7 minutes. I was like, I hit it at intensity because I had my adrenaline go. I was like, okay, I want to get a workout in. So use that. Give it a go. Finish the workout. Done. Got my workout in for the day. Again, what are your priorities? Right? I know that I need my fitness or I'm going to feel really gross, especially while I'm traveling, eating travel food. Like, ugh, I do my best, but that doesn't mean I'm feeling good because like I'm not in my own routine. So I know working out is going to help me just mentally feel better. Keeping things extremely simple. You know, even 100 air squats at intensity, at least, I mean, go for it. Just go for it and keep it simple.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Something that seems to be a reoccurring theme in my podcast is guests talking about their why and establishing their why. And I would imagine being a high level competitor, a leader, father figure, all those different things that you've gone through in your life requires a different why when it comes to your training specifically. Is this something you believe in, is establishing a why? And if so, now that you're not a competitor, what is your why now?
Well, for starters, if you don't have a why, then you don't really have purpose. You're just getting through life. And you're most likely probably going to be a little bit unhappy. You're always going to be wondering, like, what's next? What's next? What's next? A why is extremely important because without it, you have no foundation. My personal why is to be the best version of myself by educating myself mentally and physically. That's my overall why. Because I know by learning and being the best version of myself, Knox will look up to that. Because I remind myself what got me into being active by watching my dad. I told my dad, one of the things I told him, and I think it got him a little teary-eyed, was like, you know, because him and my mom aren't together anymore, but and he has a hard time with it. But I was like, you know, what I remember from my childhood, not much, right? There's bits and pieces because we just don't remember much. Mm-hmm. There's things that stand out. But overall, I remember how much you and mom loved me. That's what I remember. So as a dad, to just love my son. As a husband, love my wife. For me, love myself.
Awesome. Very cool. What a great place to end it. I'm going to go into these final five questions. Julian, take as much or as little time as you want to on them, and then we'll wrap it up. Sound good?
Cool. Let's do it.
Cool. Number one, some of them are kind of loaded though, but we'll see. Number one, if you were to give advice to an 18-year-old kid who wants to be in your shoes someday, what would you tell him or her?
Oh, make mistakes. Lots of them. So many mistakes. And learn from them.
Very cool. Two, I know you said you're not a huge book guy, but you're turning into a book guy. But what is a book that you think everyone should read?
The Four Agreements, The Alchemist. And if you're starting a business, start with why. And then Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert T. Kiyosaki.
Yeah, those have been popular. The Four Agreements, can you refresh me? What's that one again?
Self-development
book. Yes. Okay. I got to look into that one. That's been, I got this thing where if it comes in the podcast three times, I got to check it out. And that was the third time that somebody said that. So, number three, if you had your own billboard, what would you want it to say?
Consistency is key with the street parking key on there.
Yeah. I was just, amen. Number four, if you had the chance to coach or personal train anyone in the world or work out with anyone in the world, who would it be and why?
Knox. I know I'm like the worst when it comes to that because like it's super cheesy, but there's no one, I don't know, like I don't buy into like who are some of your role models now. Like I just want to be the best role model for myself and I just want to work out with Knox.
Yeah, I love it. I wouldn't anticipate anything less. That's awesome, Julian. Last question. What is one thing you do every day that is essential for you to have a successful day?
Hug and kiss my son and my wife.
Very cool. Awesome, Julian. Thanks for taking the time to be on the MyFit podcast. If somebody wants to follow you, check out Street Parking, get on the program. What's the best way to follow Julian Alcaraz?
So 009 Julian is going to be where you find me on social media and then streetparking.com or streetparking for that. And you'll be able to find that platform there.
Cool. Thank you for taking the time, Julian. Guys, if you enjoyed this podcast, tag Street Parking, myself, Julian, put it on your Instagram. Also give us a rating on iTunes if you have the time. Also, if you're looking for an awesome post-workout drink, check out Ascent Protein at ascentprotein.com. Thanks for stopping by. We'll be back next Tuesday for another episode on the My Fit Podcast.